said it's good to be home. Yeah, but we'll need to be loved. Particular word for Arwen that's there. We've been thinking, living as church, that in this psalm of Psalm 138, in particular, last little while, we've been thinking that that there is power in his name and his word. The scripture says that above all things, you have exalted your name and your word. In the last little while, we've been thinking about the names, the character, the title of the Lord God Almighty, and what that means and how that can be applied into our life, into our understanding, but also our experience of who God as our Heavenly Father is, and the nature of who he is, and the character of who he is, and the way that he intervenes and acts as involved in our lives. And now we want to begin to think about his word, the power of his word. Not my word, not your word, but his word, and how that would want to impact our lives, how that would want to shape our lives, how that would want to mold our lives, our thinking, our habits, our behavior, and help us in life to get and to be who God wants us to be. Father God places high value on who he is and on what he says. The writer of Psalm 119 in verse 11 says that I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Not sin against it, sin against you. It's really, really important that we understand that. Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. The writer uses words and language that would be akin to, well, who likes Pirates of the Caribbean? Yeah, one of those kind of default movies that would go on in our house or nothing else on, especially when Laura was living at home. You know, Pirates of the Caribbean would often be one that would go on. But this whole kind of thing of pirates who would find the treasure, then they'd go and they'd bury it. They'd hide it away. They'd put it somewhere where it couldn't be seen. Almost, if you don't like in the pirate genre, you might like Antiques Roadshow, where all of a sudden these people who have got these treasures would bring out these things that are of great value just to find out how much it's worth. And you know those folks who've got a something that's been hidden up the loft, you know, gathering dust, and they're kind of genuinely shocked. And then you've got the other people who are on the TV, and they're kind of like, I'll let you do the spiel. I'll let you tell me all about the background, but they know how much it's worth before it even starts. And then they're like, uh-huh, uh-huh. It's like an Elvis tribute act, isn't it? Uh-huh. You know, they're in that kind of place. But they know how much it's worth. When the psalmist writes, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, he knows the value of the word of God. He knows how precious it is. He knows how important that it actually is. He understood that if he was to ignore, neglect, or reject God's word, then it wasn't just a sin generally. It wasn't just a wrong thing to do, but it was something that was personal. He understood the scripture that it said that out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. He understood the need for the word of God to be buried, to be rooted, to be established so deeply, so preciously in his life, that it would help him in life, help him understand who God is, and make sure his relationship with God was right. It's not sin against it, but it's sin against you. He wanted to make sure that he didn't ignore the word of God. Church, in our lives, we need to make sure we don't ignore the word of God. He wanted to make sure that he didn't neglect the word of God. It's almost like, oh, I know what it says. I know what it's there, you know, and I'm just, you know, it's been a while. I've been busy and, you know, I've not got time to get into God's word and I'll just, you know, I'll just leave it there. He also knew that he couldn't reject God's word because he knew it was truth. He knew it was life. He knew it was going to help him to discover and uncover who God is and God's ways for him to live his life and to live in the blessing of relationship with God. He knew that it wasn't just a general, it was a specific thing. You know, he wasn't just doing it just because it was the right thing to do, but he knew that if he wasn't to hide God's word in his heart, So it would form his thinking, form his habits, form his making, form his words, help form his relationships. That would be not just about breaking a law or breaking a rule or breaking a regulation or legislation, but it would be harming a relationship that he had with his Heavenly Father. See, you can't separate the God of the Word from the Word of God. Now, that's a massive problem today because liberal thinking that we have in the world is that God's Word is just an option. You know, it's a book in a pile of, or on a shelf of many books, or even within that, as you begin to go through the Word of God, it's like, well, I like that bit, so I'll kind of think about that, but that bit there, I don't really like that, so I'll ignore that, or I'll just think something else. When we come to the Word of God, folks, it's not a cherry-picking exercise, it's not a smorgasbord of heavenly advice that may be put there that we can take a little and leave a little. The God of the Word and the Word of God can't be separated. We can't think about the love of God without considering that God's love is a holy love. Can't think that God's Word is on a par with my thoughts, because unless my thoughts are God's thoughts, then chances are they might not be good thoughts. As we approach the Word of God, we need to be, number one, we need to be intentional. He said, I'm going to hide it in my heart so that I would not sin. He's saying, I recognize sin is a bad thing. I recognize sin would separate me from God. I recognize that sin is going to hurt my relationship with God and God's plans and thoughts for my life. I need to live a holy life. He says, I'm going to be intentional. I want to do something actively so that I do not sin. He said, you're going to treasure it. Prize it. It's his precious. It's so important that he wants to make sure that it does not get damaged, that it does not be diminished. We need to be intentional. We need to treasure it. We need to live it. But as I've said there, most of all, we need to love the God of the Word, not just the Word of God. It's not just about keeping the rules and regulations. It's not just about, as Elaine was saying in our kids' talk there, or talk to all of us, I think, you know, that was there saying, it's not about trying harder. It's not about trying to work more or do more. It's about, you know, thinking somehow that's going to earn us brownie points in heaven. Now, there's blessings for us doing it, but for motivations, not because we love him. For motivation, just because, oh, if we get it wrong, the God with a big stick's going to come and beat us up. Something's out of focus. Yes, there is a consequence for sin. But at the same time, our motivation needs to be, I love the Lord. Yeah. The language that's used to describe this Word of God, it's being buried, it's being rooted, it's being established in a heart. Where the heart in Jewish thinking was both a place of emotions, but of decision makings too. So he wants to say, my reactions and my responses in life are going to be governed by the Word of God. I'm going to build the Word of God so deeply into my life, so deeply into my situation that the only thing that's going to matter, my default position, is going to be God's thoughts, God's thinking, God's words, God's character, God's nature that's been formed in me. I'm not going to react out of my flesh. I'm not going to react negative. I'm going to react according to God's Word. Psalm 1 says this, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. I want to ask you, how are you doing in the fruitfulness stakes? How are you doing in fruitfulness for Jesus? I want to say to you, as you hide his word in your heart that you might not sin against it, that you can be guaranteed that there will be growth, good growth, fruitful growth. You know, we're appointed, John says, isn't it, to bear fruit and fruit that will last. Multiplication of fruit in our lives. How fruitful is your life in Jesus? Can I encourage you to consider that the further and the greater that you put the roots of your life and of who you are into the things of the Word of God, the more fruitful that you will become. The easier, not easy, the easier it will be to stand in the face of temptation and challenge. To be equipped to overcome through the Word of God. To know that you're established because my delight is in the law of the Lord, and I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to think on it. It's going to be so infused into my thinking, into my life, that it's not as though I'm saying, oh, what have I got to do? Hold on, I've got to turn up to something in the Word of God. It's like just coming out. It's like oozing out of your pores because you've hidden His Word in your heart that you might not sin against it. Have you ever tried to uproot something that's really well established? It's not easy. Our house, when we lived in Nottingham, had a massive tree and bush just right at the front door that all it did was attract bees and wasps. And I hate bees and wasps. I mean, it was like a, from the front gate to the front door, in the summer, it was like a mission for me. You know, and have you ever seen a man trying to get his hand in his pocket to get his keys out to try and open the door while he's swatting and batting away? So we decided we're going to dig out this. My dad and I, we decided we were going to, well, I decided he was going to do it. You know, and he, whenever mom and dad would come down to vision, there would be a list of jobs to get done. When it was Heather's parents, it was inside the house. When it was my mom and dad, it was outside the house. I tell you, we had a crater dug. That was like something off the moon. We were up to somewhere like here. It was the weekend that there was the day that there was a massive eclipse that took place, and we were looking out at it. It was getting darker and darker with the, you know, digging deeper and deeper that was there. When we were out at my brother's, he had decided that they wanted to uproot a tree that was in the front of the house, but they decided that they also, because they love nature and things like that, they didn't want to destroy the tree and just leave it. Well, Andrew would have, but his girlfriend decided, no, he wanted to keep the tree. So they got her son and his truck, a chain round it, and they yanked this. They had to use a truck to yank this tree up, and then they wanted to plant it. But they didn't plant it very well. We had one day of storm in Massachusetts last week, and you know what? The tree fell over. Didn't last the first rain. The difference between something that used to be rooted and something that wasn't. Are you rooted in the Word of God? Or are your roots shallow in the Word of God? The psalmist encourages us to make the Word of God such a priority in our lives that it will be built so well into our lives that it cannot be easily dislodged, but also that it would be displayed at the same time. See, what had happened was that they hadn't dug the hole deep enough. So really it was payback for me, because the next day, where was my brother and I? We were out digging a deeper hole for the tree to be put back in. The other thing that's really important if a tree is going to be fruitful is that it needs to have good soil and it needs to have deep roots, isn't it? Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 13 about the parable of the sower. And if you've been around church for any length of time, you will be familiar with that. There's the seed of the Word of God, and there's four types of soil. And those four types of soil, the stony, the rocky, the thorny, and the good soil, represents the life and the heart of the hearer of the Word of God. The seed does not diminish, but the environment that it's placed in and that it rests in will determine whether or not fruitfulness is going to come, whether it's going to last. And as we're setting ourselves up to recognize that God says, above all things, I've exalted my name and my word, to say if He prioritizes it, I need to prioritize it. If I'm going to hide His word in my heart that I might not sin against you, Lord, then I need to recognize then that the condition of my heart becomes really, really important. The condition of the soil of my heart becomes really, really important. So how's the soil of your life? Is it rocky? Hard? Is it stony? Shallow? Is it thorny? With the K cares and the concerns and the worries of the world, or is it good soil that's been sifted through, that the weeds and the rubble and the rocks have been taken out? The good soil of no longer has apathy in it. The good soil no longer has complacency in it. The good soil no longer has compromise in it. The good soil no longer has fear in it, other than a fear of God. The good soil no longer has jealousy in it. You could go on, couldn't you, of those things that obviously attributed to the sins of the flesh. The good soil loves and prioritizes the Lord. The good soil chooses His ways. The good soil meditates on the Word of God, applies it, thinks about it, allows the Holy Spirit to feed it into his life and to build it into his life. The good soil encourages fruitfulness, that in that moment that they will react in a good and in a godly way. The Amplified Bible describes this verse as being laid up in my heart rather than hidden. And the image that's there is of a storehouse where the person is surrounded by and is immersed in evidence of the wealth and of the treasure that they possess. Bella, when you go into Bill and Winifred's house and they all the great things that's in it, like that, I'm only kidding. Your house is great, but it's not a storehouse in case anybody thinks that they're about to go and rob it while they're there at church. Nothing in it at all. It's all in the Swiss bank account, isn't it? The vaults that's there. But you know, it's like, wait and I'll show you my precious things. It's like having a room that's set up. My brother loves his sports memorabilia. And he's beginning to, you know, get himself lots of sports memorabilia. We went to a baseball game last Sunday. And it's of the little leagues. And, you know, it's not my brother, it's, you know, but we saw these guys waiting to sign these rookie season baseball players to sign a baseball with their signature. And they're a nobody, they're a nothing right now. But what these guys are thinking of, if this guy makes it, this, you know, baseball, $2 baseball with his inked sharpied signature on it, all of becomes a cash cow. And we saw this guy, he went into his hold all and he got out this little maybe 6-inch square glass container and he took it off and he so gently put this ball into it. $2. One little squiggle of a signature. Put the glass case on it, went into the bag. And he's just going, this guy's just going to hide it away. And one day, maybe one day, he'll see that guy stepping up to pitch for the World Series. And his baseball, he'll sell it on eBay and it'll maybe cost, you get thousands of dollars for it. I don't know. But I tell you, what are you hiding? Storing up in your heart in the Word of God. The treasury of the Word of God, the precious things that would be there, those things that you've got laid up of his, of the Word, those specific scriptures that have helped you. Those specific scriptures that are like verses that you come back to time and time again because it's so grounded, but it grounds you in your life. Those specific scriptures, it's almost like a shield that when the enemy comes in to press your buttons, you react and your response says, the Word of God says. Those treasury things in those moments where it's an answer to prayer, when somebody says, your God doesn't exist, your God doesn't love me, you can go back into that treasury, back into that storehouse and say, wait, here's what the Word of God says, and then here's how it was applied into my life. Here's how I spoke the Word of God over my life and through came through my life, and here's the breakthrough that it brought.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
It's the treasury. Some people in their work have got some folks call it a rainy day file, some folks call it a sunny day file. That file of all the compliments and the cards and the emails that said, well done that you ever got, the days when things are tough and days when things are difficult, that they'll go into their drawer and they'll bring out that little file and they'll look at it and they'll remind themselves of the good things. They'll remind themselves that they are worth something. What are you storing up in the things of God? The revelation of his nature, his character, and his mission. Those things where there's a guidance for every challenge and every situation that faces you. Church, let's be active in surrounding yourself with treasure from the Word of God. Let's be active in reminding ourselves of how His Word has spoken and has shaped our story up until today. those life scriptures, those prophetic scriptures, those faith-stretching scriptures that were answers to prayer at just the right time and at just the right moment. Those scriptures that lead you into a fresh revelation of Father God's love and of the Savior's love for you, that have restored you when you're bruised, that have helped you and bound you together when you felt broken or living beneath your position as a son or a daughter of God, that calls you up from where you are and out to where you're supposed to be living as a child of God. Store up those things in your life. Hide those things from the Word of God in your heart, that you might not sin against them. Said 20 minutes would be what I'd speak, and just for the record, Jeff Crow, 20 minutes and 43 seconds. There are some homework. When you're going out, the stewards will give you a little sheet that just asks some questions for you to think about off the back of this word today. What are the scriptures that have shaped your story to remind yourself of them? What are the scriptures that have helped you understand Father God more? Because there's nothing better, nothing greater than thinking about Father God. Can you recall a time where a Bible verse jumped off the page and into your life? The Logos word became the Rhema, living, active word of God. And then asking the question honestly when there's no one about, are there any areas of weaknesses or of stress that's in my life that I need to find what the word of God's solution is to that situation? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word.